right. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. All right. Stay standing. Take your Bibles if you would. Remain standing. Grab your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, if you would, please. We'll read just a few verses, then I'll pray. You can be seated, and then we'll begin the message. It's always a joy to be here. It's good to have guests with us this morning, and good to see these fellows here helping our country in helping those who are running for office. I'm a believer in that. I believe with all my heart that Christians need to be involved. And Christians are 40% of the voting bloc of this country. 40%. You understand that we can sway any election we want to. We just don't get out and vote. So let's be mindful of that and don't just say, well, you know, I live in Ohio, so I'm just one kid away. And you vote anyhow. You go the distance and you take whatever kind of pain it is to vote absentee, and you make sure your vote is counted. It's very, very important that you do that. Judges chapter 6, if you would, and I want you to, just the quick story here, and then we'll look at scripture if you don't mind. This is, of course, the very famous story of Gideon hiding behind a wine press because the Midianites, as well as the Amalekites, and other tribes that had come down into their country and was pillaging their country and totally had them held captive. And many of the Israelites had gone into the mountains, into the caves, and were hiding and were living living as kind of almost as criminals. But it was their country and their crops. Once the crops had come up, the enemy would come down and steal it, and they were trying to find some sustenance to live by. And Gideon finds himself hiding behind a wine press and threshing wheat so his family could be fed. And then that's when the angel of God comes down to him and starts off with the salutation, "The Lord, thou mighty man of valor," and calls him a valiant man. And he said, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And here he is thinking, wait, I'm hiding. You know, we're all scared to death. And we don't know what's going on. God, we've been praying and crying out to God to deliver us. And why is all this happening? Now I want you to look in verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him, chapter 6, if you would, verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing to be upon us today. We thank you for the song that was just sung, very fitting song for this message. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use it, help us to challenge each and every one of us to stay faithful, to carry out the mission that you have given us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Gideon had been given a divine calling, as we would call it. And the calling was definitely sure. It was a mission that was ordered by God. It wasn't something that he and some men got together and came up with a neat little plan. No, it was not expected. All of a sudden, this angel of God appears to him and calls him a mighty man of valor. He probably had never fought before in his life. He didn't understand that calling, but yet God, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and began to speak with him and then tells him what we just read, that, you know what, God is going to use you and God is going to fight with you, and you are going to defeat the Midianites and the hosts that are with them as one man. Let me just throw in a parenthesis here in the message that God doesn't need a crowd. You know, God can do a lot with just one man. God just needs somebody who's dedicated to carrying out the plan that God has for him. As a girl's just saying, God already knows the outcome or what it can be if his men would just step up. And I believe I'm preaching to a group of young people who have stepped up. I believe I'm preaching to a group of young people here who have a heart for the Lord. I've spent my entire adult life challenging young people to have a heart for God and helping them find their talents and abilities and to show them how their talents and abilities can best be used for the Lord. That has been somewhat my mission in life. I believe that's been God's calling for me. Now, there have been many other things that I've been able to do for the Lord, but that has been the basic, that has been the basis of my mission, so to speak. And many of you have received a calling from God, and maybe you surrendered to preach. Maybe you surrendered to be a missionary. Or you believe God has some plan for you in God's house somewhere, or in a Christian school, or in just as a faithful layman of a church, helping a pastor get a work, get going. And you believe that's your calling. You believe that's what God wants you to do. I think most of you, that would be said of your life and your future right now, as it was with Gideon. Now, the plan hadn't been unfolded before him. God called him without giving him all the circumstances and the battle plans. God just says, you know what? I've got a plan. I will be with you. And Gideon said, are you sure? And he says, yep, don't worry about it. God is with you. You are going to save your people as one man. My mission has been to personally to follow the Lord. God called me into the ministry when I was in high school, and I've never varied from that. I'm not the best Christian in the world, nor claim to be, and would probably fill in the bottom rung of all the Christians, but the truth is, my mission has been to honor the Lord. Amen. And to give God my life, give God my present, as well as my future, and I believe that's where many of you sit today. But like many of us, we've watched many Christian workers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, bus workers, pastors fail. And many that have gone to Bible college and done pretty well throughout Bible college and gotten to the ministry and failed. It happens. It's part of life. It's like many soldiers and officers get called into battle, and when they hit the beaches, the bullets are not discriminating. They'll hit anybody, and you'll see generals fall. You'll see captains fall. You'll see lieutenants fall, as well as privates fall. And you know what? People, because this world is a tough world, and sin is hard, and Satan is out to get and to dethrone anybody that has any kind of presence for the Lord, it's tough out there. But I want to challenge you today to continue what God has called you to do. Preaching on the subject, Gideon's focused mission. He had no idea what he was about to do, and he had no idea. All he knew was there was a large contingency of enemy that was encamped around and about them, well over 100,000 men of war. And God just told him that he is going to fight them. Gideon had to focus on the mission that God had just given him. And I've watched preachers and I've watched teachers sometimes get out of focus. We were this summer on tour with the guys down in southern Indiana, and we took some handguns out, Brother Douglas, and did some shooting. And one of the fellows from one of the churches we were at came and he said, do you mind if I help do some instructing? And I said, man, I'd love that. He was a firearms instructor. And he was giving the guys and myself instruction on using handguns. And I've used handguns and rifles all my life. But I was very, very intuitive to what he was saying. And one of the things he said, you know, your weapon has two sights on it. One is on the front of the barrel, and another set of sights is on the rear of the barrel. And the object is to line those up on the target, and that's what you'll hit. He said, but most people will take and will try to line up both of those immediately, and usually will miss and at least be off of their target somewhat. He said, the way that I teach is you take that front sight and you put that immediately on your target. And the rear sights will follow, and you focus. And he kept saying over and over, you focus on that front sight. You focus on what you're aiming at, and that front sight and the rear of that gun will follow it, and you'll hit your target. And I'd never heard that concept before in shooting, and I started doing it, and I started shooting better than I ever had. The guys, many of them who had shot for the first time, were doing very well because they were following that simple little formula. You focus on the object. You focus on that mission. And here Gideon, he focused on what God had him to do. He didn't say, you know what, he said, I don't feel worthy of that, as I think any humble servant would. But he never said, I'm not doing it. He never said, well, let me try. He said, well, let's just give this a shot, see where this goes. He didn't go to Bible college and said, you know what, I'm going to try it out, see if I like it. He kind of went into Bible college there thinking he's going to graduate. Focused on the mission that God had for him. Focus on God's purpose, number one. Focus on God's purpose. If you're going to ever complete the mission that God has for you, you're going to have to focus on God's purpose. And what is that? The purpose for every single Christian is to have a relationship with God. Brother Hiles said one day, the greatest ability of a man of God is to learn to walk with God. You know, there are many men of God out there that have never learned to walk with God. They're focused on their mission, not necessarily on their purpose. And their purpose is God. Their purpose is to have that relationship with God. They go to their pulpit without having that relationship with God. They'll do their counseling without that relationship with God. They'll have big days and they'll have big crowds because of their personality, but they've never focused that relationship on God. You listen to me, young people, while you're in Bible college, maybe some of the busiest days of your life, you don't forget to focus on your relationship with God. Your Bible reading is far more important than your final exams. Your walk with God is far more important than your bus route. You focus on God, you know what? You'll have a great opportunity in carrying out your mission. He found out that when the angel came and said, "Thou mighty man of valor, and God, have not I sent thee?" And God is with thee. He realized one thing for sure. He is not going to even come close to finding out God's will for his life and God's will for the battle. And he's not going to find victory until he gets to know who God is. And of course, from the story that we didn't read, is you find out that he does spend some time putting out fleeces. He wanted to know that God's presence was with him. Do you know that, young people? Are you getting through college because, you know what, you work hard and you got a decent brain and you got a good job? Or is God with you? Is God's presence with you on Saturday and Sunday as you're working your bus routes and you're bringing your kids to Sunday school? Or are you just working on your talent and your abilities? They won't sustain you in life. And Gideon probably had the character and the attributes of a warrior, though he didn't know it. But that would not have sustained him in battle had he not taken God with him. And with that purpose in mind, focusing on that purpose, you're not going to vary from the things that you're supposed to do. You're not going to vary and let your friends pull you away, because you know what? If your friends pull you from God, your purpose, your focus is on God. And you know what? I'm not going to that party. I'm not going that way. I'm not listening to that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not watching that, because your focus is on God. The opportunities that God brings you to get out of his will, you know what? They won't matter, because you're focused on God. You're focused on him and who he is and making him proud instead of you receiving opportunities. The trials will come in life. As Gideon found out in just the next few days, as he had several thousand men show up and volunteer to fight, there weren't a bunch of sissies there. They wanted freedom. But God says, you've got too many, and many of them left. And a second calling of that crowd left him with 300 men. And all of a sudden, he was disheartened. His heart was broken because God had sent so many men away, and he figured he had 15,000 men, and he could have done well with that battle, but God had other plans. But he stayed focused on God. Number two, focus on God revealing his will to you. Not all of God, many of you are called to preach and called to the mission field, and you have a heart for God and you surrender your life to him, but God has not revealed the when, where, how, and why. You have no idea what country you're going to serve as a missionary. You don't have any idea what church you're going to pastor or what state. You just have things that God has pressed upon your heart and God has allowed you to take part of right now. But what I see sometimes is Satan gets involved in this aspect and starts trying to get you to think that, you know what, maybe you ought to decide. Maybe you ought to have and go where you think you ought to, instead of waiting for God and relying on God to reveal his will to you. To wait on the Lord is the key. Look, if you would, in chapter 7, if you don't mind turning to it. Chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand." And you know the story that God called the crowd by the way that the men drank. And he was left with 300 men. And all of a sudden, God starts revealing his will and his plan for your life, not in one lump sum, but little increments at a time. God is testing your faith, and God is giving you what you need at that time. You just need to stay faithful and focus on God revealing his will to you. To wait patiently, but wait with excitement. Some of you, you know what? You get discouraged because God hadn't shown you who you're going to marry yet. Well, breath bless God, I'm going to be in the ministry. I've got to have a wife. Well, you know what? Wait patiently on the Lord. But I want a wife now. Wait patiently on the Lord. A lot of women out there, men, you could find one that's blind. You can find one that'll marry you, but it may not be the right one that will help you sustain you on that mission field. And God's got somebody that he's preparing, young lady, for you that, you know what, that'll be holy to you and will live an ordered Christian life and will stay faithful and will have the character to endure and not take your family to a place and then, you know what, run from the will of God. God has somebody planned for you. God will reveal his will to you incrementally. But you know what, you should not wait dreading it. You should not wait with great fear and trembling. You should wait with excitement. Because everything that God has for you is good. Every way that God has for you to go is the right way. The destination God wants you to arrive at one day is a good destination. And you ought to not push the envelope a little bit. You ought to be excited about God revealing it to you at his will. We read last night when Pastor was teaching from Jeremiah how that God told Jeremiah, "I knew you before I even formed you in the belly of your mother." God's will for you is already planned out there. He has waited centuries and eons for your great-great-great-grandparents to get together so that you could be born, so that you could be seated here in Bible college, so that you could one day take your place in his work. He excitedly waits for that to happen for you. Why don't you wait patient with enthusiasm for him? Number three, focus on whom you are serving and never consider anyone or anything else. You know, when Gideon and his men, they sat on their horses, they stood round about the encampment of the Midianites with nothing more than a trumpet in one hand and a pitcher with a candle in it in the other. And my guess is Gideon and his 300 men all sat there, and Gideon had told them what they were going to do, that they were going to break the pitcher. The lights would be shown all around the encampment of the Midianites, and then they were going to wake everybody up with the trumpets. Now everybody on their horses probably had to think, you know what, this is the stupidest battle plan in the history of mankind. we aren't going to pull our swords. We're going to wake every soldier that's sleeping up. It would be one thing to ambush them while they're sleeping and kill as many as we can and then come back and fight them again and keep wearing them down until we beat them. That would have probably been an average general's battle plan. But to wake them up and to alert them that they need a call to arms seems incredibly foolish. And he could have gotten his sidetracked thinking, you know what, this is a stupid battle plan. And his men could have likewise said, you know what, this is a foolish battle plan. And got sidetracked and got thinking, I think I'd rather live in a cave. You know what, I think I'd rather, be hungry most of the day and forage for food instead of living in the will of God. There will come other doctrines and other ways and means in life that will listen to me, young people, listen carefully to this, that will challenge you all your days. You stay focused to sound Bible doctrine that you have learned all your life. You don't need to try anything new. You need to be careful who you read. You need to be careful of the books that you have in your library, because they will lead you astray and lead you to a different path than the great foundation that you have been given. Stick with the same God that you have served all these years. Your God will not fail you. He will not lead you astray. He will keep you in line. In Judges chapter 6, and it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And God said to him, you listen to me and listen carefully, Gideon. He said, your people have not worshipped me. They have fallen in line with the gods of the Amalekites and the gods of the heathen. And I will not save you. I will not give you freedom until you make God me your God. God didn't want them varying and worshiping other idols and worshiping other things. And so Gideon and 100 men decided to go in the middle of the night to his father's own property, his father, his family's own town. And they threw down the altar of Baal and they broke it, and they went into the woods and they cut down the groves where they would go and worship idols. And when the men of the city woke up that morning, they saw their grove cut down and a sacrifice made on top of the wood from that cutting. They saw their beloved Baal cast down and broken up. They began to scream and holler, who did this? Somebody said it was Gideon. And they began to say, let's find him and kill him. Now you listen to me carefully. These were trying days, but Gideon had decided already at this point in time, you know what? He had a God that he was going to serve no matter what. No matter what God put him into, no matter what hardships may come his way, no matter what new doctrine may come by, he was sticking with his God. And number four, focus on protecting your divine relationships. And here where the wisdom of Gideon really came forth. Many of you have, God has given you a lot of relationships, but the divine relationships are the ones that God has given you that nobody else has given you, and you've not gotten your own. Your wife may be God's right person for you, but you chose her. But you didn't get to choose your parents. You didn't get to choose, most of you, your pastor. You didn't get to choose, many of you, your teachers in grade school and junior high and high school. Some teachers and mentors that were given to you. God has placed those people in your path. And you know what? And sometimes they will get you on track, and they can get you off track. Had Gideon gone to his father and said, Dad, look, this is what God's asking me to do. I'm coming in tonight to destroy Baal, and I'm going to destroy the grove. His father probably would have subdued him. His father probably would have said, son, you're not going to do that. Don't do that to me. And there comes a time where many of your parents do not understand your call to God and your call from God. They do not understand you wanting to go into the ministry. They may not understand you going to the mission field. And I know there's a fine line between answering the call of God and obeying your parents. The Bible commands us to do both. But I believe with all my heart that if we honor God and follow His plan and His will, He, like Gideon here, Gideon obeyed God, and not with contention for his father, and not with anger towards his dad, but with reverence to God, he went and obeyed God, and God gave his father peace. Because when his dad came out that morning, and the men in the city went to him and said, "Give us your son, we're going to kill him," his dad all of a sudden got right with God. And his dad says, "You're hurting my son. No way. If Baal be a god, let him take care of himself." And all of a sudden, the reality of who he really was supposed to be, that he was a Christian, he shouldn't have been worshiping idols, and that his son had a heart for God, started to seed in him, and God gave his dad peace. And I believe many of you will use your parents as a crutch to get away from God's will, when God's blessings will fall on your family if you follow him, you stay focused on him. You'll see family members saved. You'll see aunts and uncles saved. You'll see brothers and sisters right with God because you choose to stay the course. And last, he was focused on finishing the mission. You know, they just won a big battle. They shouted, and all of a sudden the Midianites began to, in such great confusion, God decided to put them in array against themselves. They had no idea who they were fighting, and they killed one another. And Gideon, without lifting a finger, only blowing a trumpet and lighting a candle, basically, 120,000 men died that night. That's a pretty good victory, right? I want you to look, if you would, in chapter 8, if you would, please. Just turn over a couple pages. Here you had 120,000 men that were killed. Look in verse 4. "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet" what? You know, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to get tired. It's going to cost you. There were a host of men, 15,000 men, that fled from that battle, 120,000 men killed. And what did Gideon decide to do? Pursue them. Because God told them to kill all of them. And God told them to deliver the land from the Amalekites and from the Midianites and from other tribes that had come down from the mountains to help pillage and destroy their people and their crops. And God said, "You know what? You have won a great victory tonight at my hand. Now I want you to continue it." And listen to me, listen carefully, young people. You will find in life, you will have great success. But the fatigue of great success is it's no excuse to rest. It's no excuse to settle. "Well, you know what, I've got a church, and you know what, we've got it to a consistent number of people, and we're just going to ride this out." No, God wants you to pursue. Man, I tell you what, Brother Eddie, it's taken us 15 years to get to this level. You know, God wants us to pursue. Can I tell you something, kids? You will not be a pursuer one day if you're not pursuing today. You're one-third of the way through a semester. You're barely started. And come May, you're going to think, "You know what? I finished a year. I'm done." You're not very versed at pursuing. "Well, I'll tell you what, I got 2 years in. I'll settle for a two-year degree." You're not very versed at pursuing. If that's what God has told you to do, that's fine. But you listen to me carefully. Don't you let your circumstances and your fatigue tell you what God's will is. You look at what God has told you to do and what the mission is, and you stay to it. You keep your nose to it until that mission has been accomplished. And he was faint, yet pursuing. And if your immediate success were all that God had for you, you know what? You'd be dead. If that was all God wanted Gideon to do that night, he'd have died in battle. But you know what? If you got breath in your lungs right now to whatever measure of success you've had thus far, you know what? Apparently God's not done with you yet. So don't sit down, relax, and take it easy and retire, so to speak. You know what? You pursue. I want you to look at what he did here. In verse 5, he said unto the men of Succoth, "Pray I pray you, Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of the Midians. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? In other words, I don't see the kings in your hands. We're not giving you anything. Now, Gideon had his 300 men plus the men from Ephraim had also come down. So he had a few more men than that. And these two princes decided, you know what, we're still, though you may have just killed 120,000 men, we're still sticking with these heathen kings. And this ticked off Gideon. And Gideon, verse 7 says, and Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with the briars. And he went up thence to Peniel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake unto the men of Peniel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower, the watchtower in their city. And Gideon then went from there, and he pursued. He found these two kings. He brought them back, and he found a young man from Succoth, and he said, listen, who's all in charge there? And this kid gave up everybody. The Bible says he gave up 77 elders and princes and town leaders. And Gideon said, that's great. I got all their names. And he goes back to Succoth with these two kings. And he says to these kings, he says, I want you to notice something. He says, I remember, and Gideon remembers back to when these two kings had killed, and the Bible calls it his brothers. They may have been his physical brothers. He said, I remember when you killed these men, they were my brothers. He said, I may have spared your life except that you had killed and murdered some people just to make a point, and he killed these two kings. Then he looked boldly at the elders and the rulers of Succoth. And he says, you remember what I said? And the words that he used in a few verses down, he said, I taught them. In other words, he showed them a lesson. That, you know what? You better side with God. You better stick to the mission that God has for you. You better not get detoured. You better not get away. You better not let sin get in your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. Just as Gideon did to those 77 men, he whipped them with thorns and briars, and he ripped the skin from their bodies by punishing them and showing the people that these men that had sided with the enemy, God will not tolerate. He focused on finishing. Get excited about God's will, kids. It's awesome. Don't you turn back. You stay focused. You keep the front sights on God's will. The Apostle Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of things that can make you vary, a lot of opportunities because you're bright, you're sharp, you got class to you, you're kind, you got a good spirit about you, you've got character. Anybody in the world would want you to go their way, but God says, I got a mission for you. You stay the course. Focus on the prize. When you make a mistake, you focus on the prize. You fix it and you go on. When you get hurt, you get over it and you give it to the Lord and you stay by the prize. When you get tired, as Gideon and his men did, and you didn't get food because, you know what, you just thought you deserved it, you know what, you stay faithful and you stay by the course and you continue the battle and you continue pursuing. A lot of men right now of the past that are gone, the Jack Hileses and Lester Roloffs, Lee Robertsons. There are a lot of good men out there right now that have built great works, and the Rick Martins and the Kevin Wins and the Saltz and others who have stayed by the stuff all these years. And God is building up another generation of young men that are now becoming into ministries that are successful. Brother Spear and so many others. I shouldn't start naming them. But these men like you need to continue and pursue. And pursue, and pursue. It's not over just because you get a diploma. It's not over just because you pastor in a church. It's not over because you built a good church. It's not over because you got built a greater church. No, it's not over until you step into God's glory. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we ask your blessing to be upon us today. Help us to stay by the stuff. Help us to pursue Gideon's continued mission, his focused mission that should be ours. The plan that you have for us should be always on our front sights. Everything else ought to fall in line behind that. And may these young people one day grow to serve you faithfully and do a great work that would honor and glorify Jesus Christ.